Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Some people have a PhD in worrying, right? It's amazing. How many of you think that you worry more than you should? Sometimes, right? I mean, sometimes we worry more than we should, more than we need to. Now, those of you who didn't raise your hand, how many of you have trouble telling the truth? I'm just kidding. I think we all worry. I think some people worry more than others, right? But worry is something. A man was telling a story about the first day of school for the first child, and the mother was so worried. You know how mothers worry? No, they don't, right? They don't worry. And the mother was so worried and that she followed the school bus on the first day of school. And her little child went to school. And when she came back from school, the daddy asked, "So, honey, what did you learn in school on your first day?" And you know what she said? "I learned that my mother is the only one who follows the bus to school." Well, I don't know if it's true, but he keeps telling the story. And he says by the third child was already in college. And this child was already in college and sitting in a class with maybe about 100 people. You know how they do in an auditorium. And she's sitting almost like on the front row, but she feels this weird presence. And she's like, "Wow." And she looks back over her shoulder, and there she was. Mama was standing at the door in the back. And you know, as a matter of fact, I know that most of you may know, or if you don't, our brother, Fernan, who helps us with the sound, his mother passed away this past Monday. And it's a very difficult thing, right? 55-year-old, young, just died unexpectedly. Well, they have a 15, 16-year-old. He has a 16-year-old daughter. And she had lived in Honduras with her grandmother that just passed away all of her life, pretty much. Just came to live in the United States not long ago. And I was asking the family about some anecdotes or something. Give me some material for, you know, honoring this person at their funeral. And the young lady said, "You know, up until now, up until like right before I left Honduras to come to the United States, every single day my grandmother took me to school. And she didn't have a car. She went all the way to school with me every day. And even when, of course, a teenager, it's like, mom, grandma, you can stay home. No, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to school with you every morning." And she did. Don't we do that kind of stuff? We worry, right, about what's going on and what's going to happen to them. And if you have a child in school and if you have a child in college, you should worry. Because some of the stuff they're teaching in our schools today are definitely going by the wayside when it comes to our American and Christian values. It's difficult. So, you know, somebody said this and I thought it was pretty interesting. Worrying is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but will accomplish absolutely nothing. Like a rocking chair, you know, like, what does it accomplish? Maybe soothe you, I don't know. But some other people, I've heard it say that worrying is actually a practical atheism. It's basically saying, "I don't believe God. I don't believe there's a God because I'm worried so much about what's going to happen that I don't trust him." It's like practicing atheism. So, but you know, I'm going to show you in the Word of God today, and I want us to talk about, and I want us to ponder upon the things that God says, because He's in full and total control of everything and anything that happens. I know that the past few weeks I've mentioned some of that kind of stuff, but you know, you gotta stop worrying. You gotta stop worrying. You gotta start living, you know, because God gives us the opportunity to do so and to live lives to the fullest. Didn't Jesus say, I have come to give life, abundant life? But why are we not living like that? So there's like an infection in our lives called worrying. Well, we need a shot of this penicillin to get rid of that infection in order to help us to get rid of worrying and start living. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7, what the Apostle Paul says. Now, I want you to be reminded always that this is Paul the Apostle writing from prison. He is shackled. He's in chains to a guard. All right? And this is him writing. And in verses 6 and 7, he says, be anxious, be worried for what? You see, for nothing. For nothing. I want you to know that you have permission to worry. God gives you permission to worry about one thing and one thing only, and that is nothing. Worry about nothing. How many of you worry about nothing? Right? Of course you worry when you come home, there's nothing on the stove. Of course you'd be worried if you come home and there's nothing on your dresser. Of course you'd be home if there is nothing in the living room, right? But I'm talking about worrying about nothing, nothing whatsoever. But in everything, you see that? Worry about nothing. But in what? Everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray. Give thanks to God in the middle of nothing. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, comprehension, or whatever knowledge you may acquire, will guard your hearts and your minds, keywords, in Christ Jesus. He is the source. He is the key to that peace that surpasses all understanding, that you just cannot explain. You just cannot explain. But I want to go back to verse 6. Look at the first four words. This is very important. Be anxious for nothing. I want you to understand that and be anxious for nothing. I want you to remember that. Be anxious for nothing. Now, let me give you a few things. Why should you not worry? Number one, God is in control. Who's in control? God is. God is in control. No, you think you're in control, but you're not. You think somebody else is in control, but they're not. God is in control overall. God is in control of the universe, not you. Let me tell you, God is in control of what? Of time. Think about it. Not you. Oh, trust me, I know I can't control time. I'm never on time for anything. Some of you have a better handle on that. But I know God has a handle on time because He's never late, never too early either. Amen? He's always on time. He's got control of time. I want you to consider this. If you go to Genesis chapter 7 and verse 11. Genesis 7, chapter 11. I want you to, verse 11. Look at this. This is right before the flood. The flood, the account of the flood. You know, Noah built an ark and he went floating with all the animals and critters and all that. Wow. In the 600th year of Noah's life, hope you can get there without looking it. Some of us look it, but no, I'm just kidding. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the seventh day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open and the floodgates of the sky were open. You know what happened? You know what happened? That on that specific year, that specific month, that specific day, and probably they didn't want to add it there to mess with you, at the exact time when God wanted it, down to the second, everything went crazy with water. Water started bursting out of the ground. Water started coming from the sky. The floodgates were open. That was caused by whom? By the hand of God who created this earth, of course. Water was gushing everywhere and raining from everywhere. And the reason why is because God was making judgment upon humanity. We've heard that before, right? So he flooded the whole earth. No one survived except a pair of each animal and Noah and his family. See, we won't survive. Let me tell you, this is the time. We got to be careful. God's timing is perfect, and we have to care for ourselves. We have to be very careful because we're running God out of our schools, out of our homes, out of our churches. We're throwing God out of the pulpit sometimes and preaching stuff that just has nothing to do with the word except comfort and prosperity and all these other things. But you see, God is in control of time, and he has a specific time where he will come back and judge once again, not by water, but by fire. If you look at Revelation, you see that in that book at the end. You see, and we got to be careful. We're losing this country. We're losing ourselves. We're losing it. And he's in control. He's got his timing. Everything happening is his exact time. And we need to be careful because he, at the right time, will also come and judge again. Number two, God is in control of the heavens. Not you. Let me see you grab a star. Go ahead and get a shooting star. You can wish upon it. That's all you can do. You see, we think about it. On creation morning, somebody said it was like God took a bunch of stars and just tossed them up on the velvet of the sky and let them all shine. Isn't that beautiful? You know, he just lit it up. That's a phrase that you hear a lot there with the young ones. Oh, it's lit up. Right? It is lit. Well, that's what God did. He lit up the skies with the stars and the sun. Of course, the sun is a star, if you didn't know, just in case, right? But you see, it's like the sky became a display of God's glory. The sky became this testimony of the greatness and the majesty of the hand of God when he created all that. He's in control of the heavens. You see, we can have the greatest telescopes, and we still cannot see all the stars. And the word of God says that he names them. He knows the stars by name. He names the stars. Isn't it amazing? Psalm 19 and verse 1 says, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse declaring the works of his hands. In Psalm chapter 8 and verse 1, the Bible says, O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. Right there in that same chapter, two verses over, in verse 3 says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. And if you go a little bit further in verse 9, the same psalm says, O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Wow! God is amazing. He is in control of everything. All-knowing, all-powerful, omnipotent God. He names the stars. We can't even locate them with the greatest telescopes, like I said. It's amazing. See, he's in control of time. He's in control of the heavens. But he's also in control of the earth. Right there where you're standing. He's in control of everything and anything that happens. The Bible says that he holds the seven seas in the palms of his hands. Can you imagine that? It's amazing what God does. Some people have said he measures the circumference of this earth with his fingertips. He weighs the mountains and he puts the hills on the balance. He's got it. He's the one that makes the spring come out and refresh and regenerate the earth. He makes it all happen. He's in control. You see, he's the one that said at the beginning, let there be light, conquering darkness forevermore. He is the light, and there is no darkness in him. Jesus Christ, when he came to earth, he walked not only on dry ground. Did you know he walked on water? It's amazing. Imagine that scene. Jesus walking on water. He walked on, and he also calmed the raging seas. There was an occasion in which Jesus went with his disciples. He says, yeah, let's get on the boat. Let's go to the other side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee. And as they were going, Jesus took a nap. Can you imagine that in the middle of the sea where there's always storms. And Jesus is taking a nap. His disciples come over and they're scared to death. They're worried about this storm. And they come over and says, hey, can't you do something about this? We're about to perish here and you do nothing. You see, come on, man. How you come to Jesus and you say, hey, you see what's going on? And you do nothing? Come on, man. Right? Come on, man. Challenging Jesus like that. And you know the story. Jesus just got up from his nap and said, And the Bible says that Jesus, peace, be still. In English, three words. Three words. And the winds calmed down. The storm calmed down. The waves calmed down. And then he told his disciples, are you guys still worried? Are you guys still in fear? You guys still fear and worry? Come on, man. This is Jesus who's talking to you. Now, I want you to think about this. If you think about it, being so worried. But the words of Jesus, the words that Jesus used when he said, peace be still. For us, you know, in English, that kind of makes sense. You know, it's like peace. Oh, the calmness. Be still, you know, to the waters and the winds. But actually, when you look at the words that Jesus said in Greek, what he said was, hush, be quiet. That's what he said. Literally, hush, be quiet. Now we say, peace, be still, because it sounds more beautiful, right? It sounds like buku beautiful to us, so buku better. So we kind of translate things to kind of bring a message, because we think of a storm and we don't think about quieting and making it hush and shut up. We think about being still. We think about, yeah, right, being calm. So that's why we translate stuff like that sometimes when it comes to the Bible, to give a better understanding. But it's like a teacher in the classroom with a bunch of unruly students saying, hush, shut up. Now, teachers don't do that nowadays, right? Right. So that's what I'm talking about. And the winds obeyed him. The storm obeyed him. The waves obeyed him. Everything just went into obedience. But what I want you to think about this real quick is because we think of the storm that Jesus calmed, the waters and the seas and the winds and the rain or whatever. But I want you to think of another storm that was going on that no one talks about. The storm that was going on in the souls of these disciples. I think when he said, hush, be quiet, he was probably talking to the wind, he was talking to the sea, he was talking to the rain, but he was telling the disciples, you hush and you be quiet. I got this. I'm in control. And let me tell you, that's what you need to hear sometimes when you start worrying and being anxious. Sometimes Jesus has to tell you, you need to shut up. You need to be quiet. You need to be still. Hush. Enough. Have you ever been to that point? I know I've been there. I have no idea how many times Jesus told me to shut up. But he's not saying that right now, so don't worry. We're going to keep this, right? So, you see, after rebuking the storm, you know, he comes to them and says, why are you so afraid? Do you not have faith? So he was trying to calm their storm down too, and he can do the same for you and for me. There may be some storms that are tossing your mind and your heart everywhere, and they're just hitting you with everything, but yet don't be anxious. No, be anxious, but be anxious for nothing. But in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, come to God. And he will grant you the peace that surpasses all understanding in Christ Jesus, which is the most important thing there. See, God did not promise to bring peace to every storm. He's not saying, I'm going to give, you know, or stop the storms. But he's going to give you peace in the midst of the storm. Sometimes God stops the storm. Sometimes he just lets you go through it. But he wants to give you peace. You see, the government's not going to give you peace. Nobody's going to give you peace. Money's not going to give you peace. There's no one or nothing on this earth that's going to give you true peace in the midst of difficulties like Jesus, like God will do. Our Father who is in heaven, he is in charge. He's in control. And you can trust him. And as I was thinking about this, you know, God is so awesome. He is in control of everything. Yet, when it comes to our lives, he decides. He says, you know what? I'm going to be in control of your birth. Believe it or not. It doesn't matter if you're born out of wedlock or if you were born here, there, or anywhere. I'm going to be in control of where you are born, when you are born, and how you are born. That's my job. He does that. He creates us. And then I'm going to be able to also have control over how you die, where you die, and when you die. I decide that. Yet, between the point of birth and death, he says, I'm going to give you the chance to exercise free will, right? I'm going to let you think about it. I'm going to let you do whatever you do. He leaves up to you and me. So we can choose whether we give him control of our lives or we exercise control over it. I think the first one was a better choice. Amen. God is in control of the heavens. God is in control of the earth, of the stars, of everything. So why do we worry? Because we don't want to give him control of our own. Why do we worry so much? Because God gave me free will and I know I can't trust myself. Can you trust yourself? No, before you say anything. Before you make the mistake of trusting yourself like that. You don't. You can't. You can't. Hear me again. God made you a free moral person. You can choose to do good or you can choose to do bad. You choose that all on your own. God gave us free choice and we can't. You know, we just can't trust ourselves. I know that. We don't flat out admit it all the time, especially with the way we act. But you see, you can't trust your enemies, right? You can't trust the people who are walking on the streets. You can't trust the strangers. You can't trust your coworker. You can't trust maybe the people around you right now. You can't trust your family. You can't trust yourself. You know, I'm talking about trust in Jesus compared to any other. So be careful. No wonder why we worry so much, because we can't trust anybody or anything, not even ourselves. We just don't know. We're so uncertain about things in our lives. But we have the choice whether we trust him or not. So we fear. We worry. We need to exercise faith. Faith is the only way to get rid of fear. And the faith you need to have is the faith in the love of God. The Bible says that love casts out all fears. All fears. The love of God. Okay? So why is it that I don't judge? Because sooner or later, I know I'll be judged. I'm scared. I get scared when I think about judgment. When I think about the consequences of my actions. I mean, some of us are not so scared of consequences. You know, but we need to be. Of course we are, because we can't trust ourselves. And, you know, God has the right to judge anyway. We can't just come over to God and, you know, like, whatever, right? Oh, you do that. When God says whatever, you'd be scared. I know. You can't do that. But we have this, oh, my goodness, so many things that are being said and taught, and our society just keeps getting and going astray from God more and more and more with some of these ideas that you do whatever you want, be all you can be in the army or wherever. Sure, right? That's amazing. You just, some people think that God is just like an old, creepy, going with a walker, grandfather sitting on the throne, can't get up. Nice old man. Some people think he's just a cop and he's ready to hit everybody upside the head, you know, but he is a father, and I want us to understand that today. See, he is the father. He's a creator. We need to start thinking, why is my life in such a state of confusion and worry and anxiety and depression? Did you know that in this country, these are records, and One in five people are taken or are in depression or anxiety right now. That means that probably there's, you think about it, there's a few of you that are in an anxiety or depression, diagnosed. Maybe you haven't been to see someone about it, but that means that at least a bunch of you will be diagnosed with some type of anxiety or depression. Is it crazy? And then taking meds, where everybody's just going for it. It's just something else, you know. And some of it has its use, but you have to think that if your life is in difficult and unending disappointments constantly and problems and difficulties and stressed and depressed, you know, all of a sudden you become angry and you become anxious. And the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer, supplication, and in thanksgiving. That's because you can't trust yourself. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. You remember the song? Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. And if I keep going, all of you be dancing and forget your worries, right? Hallelujah. I mean, the guy was telling the truth. Don't worry, be happy. Oh my God, I shouldn't have done that. So why shouldn't we worry then? Let's look at the last one. Why shouldn't we worry? You don't have to worry about a thing. You don't have to worry about a thing because God wants to be your father. He wants to be your father. That's why you don't have to worry about a thing. I don't have to worry because he wants to be my father. You don't have to worry. You see, don't worry about a thing, my child. Don't worry about a thing. You know, I try to Google that. Don't worry about a thing, my child. I just wrote it up. And I didn't know that there's a song out there by somebody called Something Mafia. and it all came up with the lyrics and said, that's not what I wanted. I wanted to see something in the Bible related to this, not with some dude, mafia, whatever. But don't worry about a thing, my child. Because if he is your father, you don't have to worry about a thing. Now, let's go somewhere else and let's talk about it. Matthew chapter 6. There's a few verses. As a matter of fact, I don't know if your Bible does the same thing. But in my Bible, when I go to Matthew chapter 6, this is crazy. When I go to Matthew chapter 6 and I look at verses, let's see, where am I at? A little bit further. In chapter 6, verses starting, where am I? Verse 25. It says, that's why I tell you, for this reason, I say to you, do not worry about your life. And in my Bible, there's a heading for it. And it says, no more anxiety. A heading right there, starting at verse 25, no more anxiety. Jesus is saying, don't worry about life. And when he's talking about life, he's talking about the temporal, the physical, what we live here. Do not worry about your life as to you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Of course. You know, there's so many people out there that are so worried. Look at verse 26 and 27. Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worthy much more than they? Come on. You're more than a bird. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Come on. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil nor they spin. Come on, let's keep going, man. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? You're more than grass. You're more than a bird. Do not worry then, saying, what will I eat, or what will I drink, or what will I wear for clothing? Keep going. Come on. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. Gentiles meaning non-believers, okay? Those people who don't have a Christ, the Christ to believe in. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Who knows? Your heavenly
Father. There you go. There's a difference when you have a father like God and when you don't. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Nothing you will lack, right? So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. You got plenty of troubles today. Don't worry about tomorrow, okay? Look, so do not worry. In 35. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. I want you to think about this. Because, you know, it's funny. When Jesus says, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry, right? In verse 25, he's talking about stop worrying. That's literally what he's saying again. Just like he told, he says, hush. Now he's saying, stop. But a little bit further down, when you look at the word do not worry, what it means is don't start worrying. When he talks about tomorrow, he says, don't start worrying. So basically he's saying, stop worrying. And don't start worrying. There's two commands. Stop worrying and then don't start all over again. Don't start. Stop it. I don't know. See, Jesus is saying, don't worry about what you will eat or drink. It seems like everybody's on Weight Watchers anyway. Not so worried. Actually, we're worried because we eat too much. See, things kind of change. We have a problem, right? Who can add another hour to their day? Nothing. You got to stop worrying. You got to stop doing this thing. Why? Because God wants to be your father. And if he is, then you don't have to worry. He is your provider. The Bible says his name is Jehovah Jireh, which means God provider, the provision, right? His name is Jehovah Shammah, is the Lord is here. Do you believe he's here? Okay, he is. I don't care if you see him or not. His name is Jehovah Rapha, which means he is your healer. So he's here, he's your healer, and he's your provider. What else do you want? If I keep going down the list, there's plenty of names that will give you some strength, I hope. When you think about this, I want you to think about this. What if you had this illness or if you had this problem and you go to the doctor and the doctor says, I'm going to have to perform surgery on you because if not, you will surely die. And this doctor performs surgery on you and it's a 100% successful surgery. You come out. Would you appreciate that doctor? Would you really appreciate that doctor? Oh, man, you'd be all over him like, how? What can I do to repay you? No, I'll let the insurance do that. And if I don't, someone will. It's amazing. But yet, I want you to think about this. You will be so appreciative. You'll be so grateful with this person because he's done so much for you. Well, let me tell you, God says he is your healer. God says he is your provider. Do you love him not much more than that? Because even if a doctor did that for you, would you go home and tell your earthly father, guess what? I have a doctor that saved my life. I love him more than you. I know you're my father, but I love him because he saved my life. You wouldn't do that, hopefully, because he's your father. And guess what? God is your father and God is everything. He is your defender. He is your rock. He is your fortress. He is your strong tower. That's all of this stuff I'm telling you comes right out of the Bible. He's the one that says, call on me and I will answer your prayer. He's the one that will lead you through the path. He's the one that will be with you when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So do not fear, because I will be with you, he says. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, he says, I am your father, and that's all you need. I am that I am that I am the great I am, he says. That's his name. So don't worry. Everybody's so worried nowadays to grow older or to grow old, right? I mean, it's amazing. Women pay $50 for a 1 ounce cream to put on their faces to see if the wrinkles go away. You don't use that, right? You don't need it? You don't want it? I know, because my mama, oh my God, see, I messed up. Mama sends me to Dillard's to go get it for her. Wow, it's amazing. We're so worried about growing old and all of that. I checked this out. Somebody said this, and I thought it was pretty funny. You know you're really growing old when someone compliments you on your new alligator boots, but you're barefoot. That's messed up. Wow. Have you ever noticed that worries always come at a bad time? You see, when you're in a crisis, when something's not right, all of a sudden you'll lose that clarity of mind and you get nervous. And it usually comes when you have to make a decision. And here comes worry like a dark cloud, and it gets up on you and hides the sun. It's like a leech that sucks you dry and doesn't leave you any ability to make any decisions or to do the right thing. It's like worry can kill you. Worry actually is killing people. Did you know that stress, we call it stress because we don't want to call it worry, right? But worry and stress are causing heart attacks and causing heart disease and causing all kinds of stuff. All of this. And they're also causing wrinkles. Did you know that, right? Yeah, you know that already. What do you think I have all these? See, so we got to be careful because worry will paralyze us. It will take away all the ideas out of our mind. You see, today's science, not theology, but science says that worry is causing, like I said, heart disease and cancer and all kinds of stuff. So blood pressure, ulcers, you name it. So it's not what you're eating, but what's eating you. Think about that. It's not so much about what you're eating as what's eating you. Even Jesus said, you know, why are you so worried about diet? That's why I don't worry. But of course, Jesus was talking to some of these religious guys that were saying, you're not supposed to eat that. You're not supposed to eat that. You're supposed to eat this. And Jesus said, why are you so worried about what goes in the mouth? Because what goes in the mouth goes out the other way. Jesus was very clear on that. And yeah, see, the Bible has humor, but it's kind of crude sometimes. Because whatever you eat will just be discarded. See, who cares about what you eat? Well, be careful, because it's a temple of God, your body, right? But it's more important than what you eat through your mouth, or what's eating your mind and in your heart. So you got to be careful with that. So fear not, fear not, fear not. Fear not the past. Why? Because it's already past. And if you are a child of God, you know that your past has been forgiven. Amen? So don't fear the past. Don't fear the present. Because he said in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, he said it many times, I will be with you. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And I will go wherever you go, Jesus said. God has said it. Everyone, listen to me. God is with you. Don't fear your present and don't fear your future either, because he's got it in the palm of his hands. That's why David could say in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. That's the whole key, the presence of God, God himself. Remember that God... Death is just a shadow. You just pass through it. And when you get to the other side, you'll be all right. Amen? When you are with God and when you're walking with God, death is just a shadow that you just pass through and pass by. Psalm 27 and verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Who shall I dread? Psalm 23 and verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. Hebrews 13:6 says, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? I am who was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, Jesus said. You don't have to fear anybody. I got your back. You don't have to fear sickness, because he is the great physician. You don't have to fear for your provision, because he is the great provider. You don't have to fear other people. You know, in Proverbs 16:7, I found this very interesting. It says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Wow. You don't even have to worry about your enemies. See, we're so worried about relationships and our enemies and making peace with people. Why don't you make peace with God and let him make peace with everybody else in your life? Amen? That's what you have to do. I will fear no evil because God is with me. That's why. So I want you to listen to that closely. Worry, You don't need to worry. You don't need to worry. It's like people are worried about disasters to come. You know, like when we talk about hurricanes, well, it's not about if it comes, it's when will it come. It's for sure. Are you sure that a hurricane is going to hit us? You have that 100% sure that it's just a matter of when? That's what we think, right? That's what we believe. Is that true? Could be. Could it not be true? That too. So why are we worried if we're in his hands? And if he is the one, he's the one, he's the one. We don't have to worry about any of that. You see, we believe that we're going to be defeated. And we look at things and, oh my goodness, faith. Faith will kill your worries, or worries will kill your faith. You just have to choose, what are you going to do? Somebody said this. Most of the trouble I've had in my life never happened. Most of the troubles that I've had in my life never happened. See that? Worried about stuff that never actually happened. Have you ever worried yourself silly about something that then didn't happen? You're probably worried if I'm ever going to stop talking today. And I will. So you don't have to worry, right? Hallelujah. At some point, you see, so you have to think, God wants to be my father, but he is a good father who takes care of me. And I am precious in his sight. I am precious in his eyes. You are such a treasure of God. The Bible says in Exodus, when God is talking about his people, he says, you are my treasured possession. And then we look at Ephesians chapter 2, and God says, you are my workmanship. You are my work of art. You are my masterpiece. That's who you are to me, to God. You hear that? That's what God says about you and me. But we're worried. We're so worried about who we are, and we compare ourselves to other people, and we see our flaws, and we get worried. You just can't do that. You know, ladies, I'll tell you, if you look around, there's always going to be a prettier lady in the house. Guys, if you look around, there's always going to be someone, some Brad Pitt. All right? So don't worry. And they'll remind you that you are so ordinary, right? Why? No, you're not. You're special in God's sight. You know what? If you're a salesman, there's always going to be a better salesman. If you're a carpenter, there's always going to be a better carpenter. If you're a lawyer, there's always going to be a better lawyer. If you're a preacher, there's always going to be a better preacher. I couldn't believe that, but I know it's true. You see, there's always going to be a better doctor, or a better carpenter, or a better student, a better anything. If I look around and I start comparing myself and I'm like, if there's always going to be a better one for me, oh my, than me, oh my God, then what am I? I'm still a treasure in his sight. I am still his workmanship. I just need to be all that he made me to be. Amen? So stop worrying about who you are not and start enjoying who you are. Stop worrying about who you are not and start living and enjoying who you truly are. I think you know this already, but I'm still going to throw it at you. You know there's not another person on earth ever created just like you? Okay. I believe that the earth is only, it's a young earth. To me, the earth is only what, 2,000, 4,000, 6, yeah. Anywhere between 6 to 12,000 years old. That's what I believe. It's a short thing. And there's no one that's ever been created in these 6 to 12,000 years just like me. Now, let me tell you something. If you're one of those that believe that the earth is millions and trillions of years old, I'll let you buy that. But in those trillions or billions or millions of years that the earth's been, there's no one like you. So, I'm special. So are you. We are in the sight of God. So stop comparing yourselves among yourselves or anything. Stop comparing yourself.
And Jesus said, don't you worry about food. Don't you worry about water. You know, remember, he was in a place where the only source was the Sea of Galilee. There was no other source. That's where all the farmers and everybody nourished their families and the crops and everything that they had. It was like the water, the sea, this Galilee, the Sea of Galilee was the fountain of all blessing to them. And yet Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me. If you're hungry, come to me. I am the bread of life. I am the spring of living water. He is. He is. He is. You don't have to worry. Somebody said that worry is like a rat that'll chew on your faith. That'll chew and eat at your faith. And said that there was a pilot flying his plane around the world. And he would stop every so often to fuel and to keep his bearings. And in one of those legs, as he was crossing, when he was about 4 hours into it and 4 hours till getting over there or so, right in the middle of one of the legs, he started hearing this noise. And he recognized it. And he said, this is a rat that's come inside my airplane. And he's just chewing away. And he's thinking, he's going to chew some wire. He's going to chew something. And then I'm going to be coming down real quick. So he thought about, what do I do to get rid of this rat? I'm in the middle of the air. I can't just, Jesus, take the wheel and try to get it, right? I can't just do that. So then he started thinking, this little rat, I know what I'm going to do. He started climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing. Hear them? He's climbing. And he went up and up and up and up so high that the rat died because it's not designed to go to that height. It said that when he got off the plane, the first thing that fell when he opened the door was a dead rat. See, that's what you need to do with your worries. Take them up to the highest. Take them up high. Take them all the way up there. Bring them all the way up there where your worries are going to surely explode and die, because you're not worried, because you have faith, because you've gone up. You've gone to the throne. You've gone to your heavenly Father. You're up there with God. And when you're up there, you have the victory, and it's smooth flying with God. So just climb. Climb to the presence of God when you're worried. That's what he said. In prayer and supplication and in thanksgiving, bring your petition before God, and he will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. He will give you peace that'll be a reassurance that you just feel good about. Why? He's in control. He's in control of heaven. He's in control of time. He's in control of the earth. So give him control of your life. Why? Because he wants to be your father. You are precious in his sight. He wants to care for you. So think about that. Quit worrying and start living. But living is only by faith in Christ.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.